Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. Thanks for being with us. We have our regular crew here. I'm Bob Ginsberg, Tom and Melissa Gould, and Fran Ginsberg. And tonight we're going to be talking about actually the questions that you've emailed into us about the afterlife and related subjects. If you would like to talk to us or you have something to share or you had a question, you can call us at 1-888-627-6008. We're going to be talking about the questions that you've sent in. And by the way, we do quite a number of shows where we address questions by listeners. So if you think of something that you'd like to discuss or take part in the conversation, you can email us at any time at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. So before we get started, Fran's going to bring us up to date on Foundation events.
Okay. Big reminder for our listeners, always check the events page on our website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org, for all the latest events and happenings coming up for free in November. Well, we're going to skip November 3rd. That happened already. On November 9th, we have our Visionary Explorers group. They meet online from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, 11 to noon Pacific, and everything you can figure out in between and on either end. And also on November 9th, the Miami, Florida Afterlife Discussion Group meets from 1 to 3 p.m. Our annual Winter Grief Retreat, Love Knows No Death, is filling up, so make your travel arrangements now and take advantage of our early bird rates that will expire on December 9th. This great and meaningful weekend has been organized to optimize the experiences of just 50 attendees who will work in small groups with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Angelina Diana, Doreen Malloy, and Renata Santarelli, along with Dr. Piero Calvi Parasetti, who will be traveling all the way from Scotland as our special guest facilitator. Join us on this special weekend, January 10th through 12th, 2020, where you will learn that the mystery of death is not a mystery at all, but a doorway to another chapter of continuing life. Our Holidays Past Raffle 2019 is up and running on our website. One chance is only $5, and you can be one of five winners of medium readings with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Janet Nohavik, Joanne Gerber, Dustin Libers, Angelina Diana, and Bobby Allison. And if you are planning to be in New York for the holidays, reserve your seats now for an evening of spirit communication at Holidays Past Smithtown with Joe Peretta and Gina Simone on Saturday, December 14th. And please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great nonprofits. And follow us on our YouTube channel for great stories and videos at youtube.com/afterlifeeducation. Back to you, Bob.
And so we're back with the gathering, and tonight's topic is not a topic. It's just fielding questions that you have sent in to radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or in surveys that we send out. Everybody has questions about the afterlife, and quite frankly, none of us really has the answer. But we just make educated guesses based upon what we've learned, and sometimes we learn from you. So let's get right into some of the questions. Here was the first one. I thought after we die, we lose our self-centeredness and are able to see ourselves honestly and to truly apologize and forgive others. In a recent reading, my mom felt no need to do either and was content with her actions in life. She said she's happy and has nothing to apologize for. We're supposed to be our better selves in the afterlife, aren't we? Interesting question.
I have a question for the question.
Okay.
When the person who's posing this question is making all these assumptions that her mother said she had nothing to apologize for, did she really say that?
Right.
Or the fact that she didn't come through with an apology during the reading, the sitter is making the assumption that the mother had nothing to apologize for. So, because we see reading after reading after reading, when there has been something very horrible that has been taking place at the fault of the person who has passed, almost always they will come through with some sort of request for forgiveness. So that's why I question that.
That's a good point. That's my impression too. What the viewer shared was that all the ego and all the other things that categorized who that the way her mother behaved should drop. I mean, that's my impression too. Should drop away. That they've had perhaps the life review. They've seen their actions and have, you know, felt them, what we've heard, tenfold or a hundredfold, and it's humbled them and humbled them to such a degree that, you know, on the other side, they are ready to hopefully be apologetic or come across. They do talk about coming through with the same personality, however. So I don't know if that goes hand in hand with someone who is never humble, but the big, you know, loud, bossy personality, because we hear that too. Yeah. You know, she's elbowing me out of the way so she can talk. So it's a tough one.
I think there's a lot to digest in that question. First, you said that, you know, her mom said that she was content with her actions in life. We're assuming that the medium was bringing through that information correctly.
Well, that's the other thing. It's the conduit. I mean, sometimes mediums extrapolate on what they're getting. I mean, from what I know, most mediums don't get a one-to-one conversation. It's more in symbols and signs and that sort of thing that they interpret in different ways. So I don't think you can take a word-for-word reading necessarily. I mean, I think there are some mediums who probably do hear sentences, but it's rare.
I just want to throw what they may hear, not whole sentences. I mean, they'll readily admit that they'll hear a string of two or three words together if they're hearing anything at all, right, which is pretty much the same thing the way EVP works. You're not going to get a whole long sentence in EVP. You're going to get two or three words.
Right.
So, well, you know, you can interpret whatever, you know, it's in the interpretation, whether it's the sitter who's interpreting it or the medium who's interpreting.
I hope that person, if they're listening to tonight's program, might clarify that a little more for us.
Yeah, and also I think the big question here is the end, where she says, we're supposed to be our better selves in the afterlife, aren't we? And there are divergent opinions on that. I mean, the evidence seems to show that we retain our personalities on the other side, and who we were in the physical, at least at the beginning in the afterlife realm, we remain. So that doesn't mean that instantly you become a saint if you want to pass over.
Right, exactly.
You know? So I think it's more likely that there's a series of progression as we learn and evolve, you know, in this other realm. So it's possible that your perspective changes, and maybe at the beginning you don't think you have anything to apologize for, but maybe the answer might be different down the road, you know.
Yeah.
So I know that we have some callers, but we do want to go to a quick break. So we're going to go to a break, come back. We're going to take some calls and continuing on with your questions. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.kamlak.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love Knows No Death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio, and we're devoting tonight's show to answering your questions that you've written in surveys and in emails, and we'll continue on. But maybe before we continue on, let's take a caller.
We have Sally on line two. Sally, are you there? Sally?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Welcome, Sally.
Okay.
Do you have a question?
I do. My son died earlier this year, and I always believed that there was an afterlife. I've always believed that your spirit lives on when your physical body died, but I've never had any experiences myself, and but since the accident earlier this year, it was fairly close to home. It's very violent. The end was quick. There have been some spectacular things happen, and I'm looking into it. And a couple of things, the questions I have for you really is, It's been 5 months now, and one thing is, will the signs lessen as the time goes on? My concern is, I really don't know what I have had a couple of very significant things happen, but this is unfamiliar territory to me, and I'd like to enhance this contact that I have. And B, I'm concerned, you know, does it actually tail off as time goes on? And have I got, you know, a limited time scale to try and build something?
All right. So I'm sure we all have opinions on that. But let me start off that, first of all, the evidence seems to show that people who pass by accident or in some violent manner or unexpected manner, the tend to communicate earlier. Maybe it's a sense of urgency. You know, I don't know. But regarding the second part, which is a fair question and a question a lot of people have, they worry about, well, what's my time frame? And the short answer is there is no time frame. And there's evidence of after death communication when a person has been passed for 40 or 50 years and they still communicate. Right. But having said that, I think that the consensus is that communications, even in my own personal experience, have lessened as the years go by. And the way I reason that out is that there's a lot of things to do where they are. I mean, you know, the initially, the most important thing is providing evidence that they still exist. Okay, they've done that. And now it's time for exploration. You know, there's advancement. I mean, your entities of thought, you can go wherever you want. You can manifest whatever you want. So the urgency to get, you know, to get the message across that they still exist, you know, tends to wane, in my opinion, as time goes on. So, but I don't think there's any.
I mean, he's done that. He absolutely has done that completely. So there's no doubt he made such an astonishing contact with me. But I want more than just that confirmation that he's there and he's okay. He was smiling and he was fine. But I want to build on it. I he was only 21 and I have a lot of years left, and I'd like to build on it if it's possible. I would like to do that.
Yeah.
He's coming to me. I really know. All I know is I know how to meditate. I've done it for years, and I'm extremely open to this. And I do talk to him a lot with an open mind and listening ears. And for some reason, it's working. I'm just it's unknown territory for me.
Yeah, well, I think you're doing the right thing. I mean, maybe somebody else wants to chime in on that, but meditation truly is the thing, and asking and trying to keep the communications going and embracing the connection, as opposed to what the mainstream grief therapist might say, you know, to disconnect and move on. You know, you don't want to necessarily move on. You want to maintain the connection. So anybody else want to?
I just think, you know, she has a new relationship now. Sally, you have a new relationship now with your son. So the signs may change, but you may change as well. And your love is never going to change. It will always be.
I really don't have an expectation. Where I'm sitting now, I've created what I call my own sacred sort of space, which I've not had before for my practice. And it's a very organic room. And I spent my first night in here with some of his things, clothing that I hadn't washed. And I lit a candle for him and other candles. And there were salt lamps around everything. The ambience, the energy was wonderful. And after a couple of hours of me talking with him and going through things, I fell asleep. And I woke up about an hour later, and I told him, you know, I was going to bed, etc., and said goodnight. And I blew out the candles. And as I blew out the candle that I had lit for him, that I had focused on to begin my meditation, the flame, as I blew it out, the big center light in our room came on and flooded the room with light. And that was, you know, that light only worked with a remote control that I'd put in a drawer. I'd freed all the electronics from the room. And it was astonishing because I then had to remember what drawer I put it in to switch it off. So that was, it told me, even though he's not talking to me as such, like I've not been to a medium, so I'm not hearing those sort of things. I'm just getting these signs in spectacular ways, which is, you know, it's great. And I'd like to build on it.
Yeah. And you know, in the way we think of it, I mean, getting these direct personal communications are far more evidential and spectacular, as you say, than going through a third party, such as a medium. If he's able to communicate with you directly, I mean, how great is that? You know, so, I mean, yeah, you're on the right side, and then he's a strong spirit, and you're blessed to get those direct communications.
And Sally says she wants to build on it, and I think that that's the key. Mm-hmm. Building on different ways you can communicate with them. You could try different things like electronic voice phenomena. You know, even when you fell asleep after you lit all the candles and you fell asleep, you know, that opens you up for more communication from him. So I think you're on the right track. You know, the different things that you want to try with him, some will resonate, some he'll be able to do really, really well, and some you'll pass on. But it's like you say, you build on it, you experiment, you see what works. Don't just try it once, try it a few times, because they on the other side have to work differently to try and affect our energy and our physicalness here. So I think you're on the right track.
I agree.
Another thing to remember also is that he can hear you and clearly and understand. It may be more difficult for him to adjust his energy to get a message back that you can hear or understand. So,
I will tell you this one that I tell virtually no one, because it's just it was several weeks after the accident. I sat outside. I'm here in Florida, starry night, and you know, there were a lot of tears, but I talked with him for probably about 3 hours about his life and growing up, you know, what I perceived I'd done well as a mother and what I hadn't. And I asked, you know, I said to him, you know, I've had these signs, and I told him what, and I said how grateful I was. And I said that, could you just give me something more now? I just miss you so much. And I kind of, all my senses became very heightened, you know, I was listening, but all I heard was the night air and the breeze and the, you know, the night sounds. Everything was normal, and so be it. It was still a nice thing to do for those hours, and it helped me with the grief process. And I came in, and the house was, you know, empty downstairs, thought of the animals, and I'm switching the lights off, and as I turn round, you know, I'm calm. I'm so calm. You know, it was very cathartic being outside for that time. I came round, as I turned, right in front of me, between at the bottom of the stairs in the hallway, where his urn actually is, opposite there, he appeared in full form, fully for the blink of an eye. That's as long as it was, and it was real. I was lucid, I was calm, it was completely unexpected. But for the amount of time that it takes you to blink an eye, he was standing there and he was smiling, and then he was gone. And I can still picture him and what he was wearing to this day. And it, that was, but it's not something you can tell many people.
You could tell us.
But
again, you know, you mentioned maybe the trick is, as you recognize, is just to get into that altered state. Being surrounded by the animals or nature, you know, put you in that, you know, that decluttering mind where he's able to get through for every reason. But thank you for sharing all that, Sally, and I hope that you have many continued communications.
And I hope that Sally is journaling all of this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, have a good evening. Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye. So we have, this always comes up every time we ask for questions, we get quite a number of emails on the same subject, and I'll just read two that are basically the same thing, and I have 10 more that are on the same subject. person writes, my son passed away in July 2015. I've received numerous signs that he's doing great. I look forward to meeting him when my time is up. But what would happen if he had to come back to do it again because he still had some lessons to learn? Is it possible he would not be in heaven waiting for me when I get there? And in a similar vein, another person writes, I've always believed in a capacity beyond my understanding that I will see my loved one again on the other side. If reincarnation exists at the same time, and I do believe we live again, how does one see their loved one on the other side when they have reincarnated? And it goes on, just an arbitrary thought. And there's a lot of others in that vein. And it comes up over and over and over again. And people, it's a real concern because it's hard to think in physical terms that, you know, I'm going to miss them. They're going to, you know, my time's going to come and they're going to be already back on Earth. So I have my own opinion on that, but I'm sure you guys do. So.
Well, yeah, I go back when I get to these questions with the something called the Seth tapes that were very voluminous years ago that were channeled and written down from an entity called Seth. And well, one thing that we have found that is on the other side, there is no time. So everything, which physics is getting close to being able to explain, and it's hard for us in our human form, we're very linear and time is ticked off for us, you know, daily. And to us, it's a very real thing, but it really isn't. And I know it's hard to grasp, but you've got to realize that everything is happening now. Now is everything. And so when that person, yes, they might reincarnate, but when you get to the other side, they will be there for you. Even if they are inhabiting a body at the time, their soul, their spirit has many more, I'm not crazy about this term, but tentacles. It's like you're an octopus and one tentacle is living in the 17th century as a knight and another tentacle is in the 22nd century as a space pilot. And so that when you're, and everything also what we've learned is it's driven by love. So what your loved one and the love that you share is what will bring you together when you get to the other side, regardless of what the else they're doing in their soul. Your love will be where you will meet.
I agree with that. And I think we're all, there's probably an oversoul, which is a compilation of all of our different lives and all of our different souls. But the key is that what survives death is our personality. So we may be made up of many different sparks of light, but each one of those sparks retains its own memories and personalities. So you could be in many different parts of your soul, could be many different spheres or realms of existence, but still you'll be able to communicate with them because they retain, each spark retains their
soul DNA.
Yeah, soul DNA, exactly.
I think there also is evidence from near-death experiencers to show that elimination of time that Tom was talking about, where they've come back and they've been able to witness themselves being taken in an ambulance, themselves being in the operating room, themselves watching their loved ones in a waiting room, all at the same time. So when you eliminate that time element from it, at least if you're a physicist, you can better understand that everything is happening at the same time, past, present, and future.
Right. Yeah. So here's a question that also on a lot of people's minds, and I guess you would term it under the category of afterlife justice, because the question is, how will murderers and evil people be accommodated in the afterlife? Interesting choice of words, accommodated.
Yeah. That's an excellent word.
Yeah. I think it gives people some sort of hope or satisfaction to know that people that are evil will be punished, that there's karma, that there's reward and punishment kind of a system.
That's, and of course, be careful with that, because I don't think there's a, it's not like a hellfire and brimstone that the devil is going to tie you to a burning chain or something like that. It's more self-punishment.
Right.
There's, again, another book that I might recommend. It's called Testimony of Light. It was written by a nun who was channeling another nun who was on the other side. And there is a chapter in the book where the nun, I guess it was a Nazi or some other fine person who has come over to the other side, and they are taken aside and they're brought into a room where they are trained and worked on for them to recognize their behavior and deal with that before they're able to go to a next level where there's more enlightenment and joy.
Yeah.
I think in the book they describe it as almost like a hospital situation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where there are certain entities on the other side whose job it is to help the growth of these dark energies to be able to lift themselves up on the other side. And the author of the book is Helen Graves.
Yes.
And it was Frances Banks who was the nun who crossed over.
Yes.
And promised she would get back to her friend and tell her exactly what the other side was like.
So again, it's about self-healing. As a famous person once said, physician, heal thyself. You have to atone for your own sins.
Yeah, and just think about it. In your own lifetimes, or I don't know about you, but certainly me, I mean, when I've done things that I really regret, and I get ulcers over it. You know,
yeah.
Maybe you relive that. You know, why did I do that? Like, what I could have done to change it. You know, and so just imagine when you're this evil Hitler person,
yeah,
and you cross over, and you have to tangibly feel the pain and the horror that you caused to others. So forget about some physical, as Tom said, realm. I never believed in heaven or hell or any of that stuff. But this is, you create your own hell.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I too have regretted many things that you've done.
Yeah. Appreciate that.
Well, anything you can do now.
If you only knew the half of it. All right, so here's one. My wife's mother died from cancer 3 years ago. She was only 63. We have tried hearing from her a couple of times with some well-known mediums. My wife has never gotten over her death. Why would her mother never come through to speak to her? They were best friends and couldn't have been closer. Legitimate question.
Is he saying that they went to the mediums and
they still never, she never came through? And evidently she never came through in any way. So anybody want to address that?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I just, you're nudging me like I have experience with this, but I really feel like we can't force that. And they may not, the medium that the woman is meeting with, the mother may not care to come through to that medium. Maybe she, I don't want to tell this woman to invest her money in a lot of different mediums. I think she ought to work on her own skills of communication first and not rely on a medium, even though it's really comforting when you do get a lovely reading from a third party who didn't know you both. So I wouldn't want her to become discouraged at all. The love is there, and she may just have to find other ways to explore it.
Well, I'm with Melissa on that, but I'm almost want to mention that it could very well be her mother does not want to use a medium. She does not want her daughter to become addicted to medium readings.
Good point.
You communicate with me other ways, light a candle, talk to me every night. I will find a way to communicate back directly with you. But if you're not going to go down those avenues, they're not going to be able to make that connection back to you. So that's what my suggestion is on this. And I don't think that it's necessary. I mean, it could be the medium's fault. We don't know who these quote unquote well-known mediums are, but we are We have free will here. When we cross over, we have free will over there too. So if we don't want to come through, for whatever reason, we're not coming through. You can't force it.
And it's nothing to do with the love between the mother and the
love
daughter.
Is there.
And also, it's not easy to come through. You're this entity of thought and energy, and you're trying to manifest or come through to the physical, dense world. And maybe there's a learning curve, and maybe there are mediums on the other side to help you, or maybe you just haven't found that right synchronization yet of frequency. So maybe she's trying, and it'll happen, but it didn't happen yet. All right, we have to go to a break. When we come back, we have a lot more to talk about, answering your questions. By the way, if you wanted to join in the conversation, you can call us at 1-888-627-6008. We'll be back in a few minutes. Stay with us.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love knows no death. A groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. And we're talking about you tonight, your questions. We're discussing them. We sent out a survey. A lot of you replied to it. And also emails that you send in. As I mentioned earlier, feel free at any time to send your questions in as a topic of discussion. We welcome that. You can send it to radio at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Let's go to another question. Regarding proof of an afterlife and connecting to our loved ones that have passed on, I went to a medium recently and she provided some things that matched what my loved one would have said, but how can I be sure that she doesn't come up with those things with everyone? Just trying to get more concrete confirmation. All right.
That's a good question.
One. I mean, the problem is that in the mediumship profession, there's good and bad. We jokingly refer to sometimes medium shit instead of mediumship. the question is always, you know, especially somebody that's new to it, how do I know that the medium's not reading my mind? And what's the difference between general information and specific information? And you're right, if you want more concrete information. If the medium is giving you information that your loved one says that she loves you or that she's happy with what you're doing with your life or she's unhappy, well, it's all general stuff, you know. So you're right to question whether she's coming up with that or she's giving it to everybody. So the way that you know is the specificity of the information. So if it's stuff that she could not possibly, or he could not possibly have known or inferred, there you have your confirmation. So anybody else want to chime in?
Yeah. Also, there are times when a medium will do a reading and tell you something about your aunt and your uncle that you didn't know about, and then you go and ask your aunt, and they confirm, that's what happened. That's what you want to look for. You want to look for those what we call dazzle moments, where you cannot explain it any other way, but that they have some sort of insight that you don't have. You don't have it in your mind. They can't read it out of your mind because you didn't even know it. Yeah. Until later when you investigated it. So there are mediums who can get pretty specific, and when it does, you certainly know it. And then there are those mediums that do the generic, oh, he loves you, he misses you, and that kind of thing. They sort of had trouble with their heart or breathing at the end. Well, yeah, everybody can't breathe at the end either. So, you want to get a medium who can bring up more, as Bob said, specific information.
I think it's a feeling, too, you get. It's just kind of a knowing when that medium has connected with your loved one. I can't explain it any better than that. You just know. And it's a peaceful feeling, like the warm and fuzzy feeling sometimes. That doesn't mean that always happens. But if the connection is strong and true, that you should have some inner feeling about it.
I had a friend, I was with him when he was being read, and as the medium was reading, and then towards the end of the reading, he had tears flowing down his face, and I said, what happened? And he goes, while my mother was coming through, the medium had her hand on my back and was rubbing my back the exact way my mother used to do. Something like that. It's hard to say how could they possibly guess at something like that.
Yeah, we received a lot of questions that are similar to that. And it seems a lot of people are going to mediums and getting general information and walking away with more questions, that they know. There's another one that wrote a similar thing. I keep seeking validation and confirmation of my knowing. I don't trust myself. I don't want to go on with the long meal, but the same thing. I need to go, you know, deeper and deeper, and I, you know, it's all general stuff. So, you know, the answer is, if you want to go see mediums, you know, get recommendations. You go to can go to a certified medium list. You can go to other resources. There are way too many mediums that can't do what they claim that they can do. So yeah. You just have to be more diligent.
Especially now that it's actually getting more into the mainstream, and we've seen television shows and fictional television shows and fictional television shows based on real mediums, and then we've actually got real mediums with their so-called reality shows. And of course, that's going to inspire a whole group of people to say, well, I want to do that. I want to be famous and do that. So, yeah, you're going to get a lot of mediums who just are not going to give you the reading that you need. As Bob said, if you go to the foreverfamilyfoundation.org website, there is a list of mediums that we have tested in a clinical laboratory style testing, and they should be able to give you the kind of reading that you're looking for. But as Bob says, you know, don't go cold. I mean, don't go down the streets of Manhattan and go into one of these storefronts and think you're going to get decent readings. Yeah. One other thing to say, I know some of you listening out there go, well, you guys are on the East Coast. I'm in the middle of the country. You know, where am I going to find a medium? Well, believe it or not, some of the mediums prefer doing readings over the phone to sitting face to face because there are no distractions. It's just you and the medium and the spirit. And people go, well, how can they do a reading over the phone? And which I always find funny, that you've accepted that a medium can bring in messages from the afterlife, but on the phone? it really is a good way to go. So, yeah, you don't have to actually be in the town that the medium lives in. Find a medium you like and set up a phone reading, and that should help.
And be prepared to wait, because there are lots of long wait lists apparently for the good ones.
Right. I just want to go up on one thing that Melissa said at the very beginning of this particular thing, was that when you have that feeling, when you're sitting with a medium, even a phony medium, even an underdeveloped medium, or even a psychic, because a lot of people don't even know the difference between a psychic and a medium, and you have that feeling that your loved one is there. They are there. Yeah. They may not be coming through that medium because they know the medium is a phony, or they don't have the same vibration, or the medium is tired, or whatever the gamut of reasons is. But if you feel them there, they're there. And you can achieve that feeling without going to a medium. And that's a really important thing for people to understand, that our loved ones want nothing more than to communicate directly with you. They don't want that middleman. They don't want that medium to have to. And that's why it's called a medium. It's there in the middle. It's being there as a translator. Wouldn't you rather feel them around? Or as Sally pointed out earlier in the show, she saw her deceased son. You know, that's what they want, and that's got to be what the best experience for you as well. And as far as going to a FFF medium, you know, if your loved one is not coming through, they're going to tell you that. They're not going to go on with the reading. If you tell them that that's not the person, they'll try. And if they can't get to that person, the ethics kicks in and they will let you know that they can't do it. And that's an important aspect.
Oh, I might want to jump in here. One of our mediums, Janet Nohavik, is an excellent medium, and she has written a couple of books. And the one in particular,
The Journey Within,
is actually kind of a workbook with exercises on how to increase your own abilities to be open to communication. It's a really excellent book I read recently, and I could recommend that. Janet Nohavik.
So here's an interesting question. I thought it was an interesting question until I looked at who sent it in. and it was actually from our own Tom Gould, so maybe I should not think it was such a great question. What do you
think?
Well,
I don't know.
It is a good question. So, you know, is there death after death? What I mean is, when we are born into a spiritual existence, is it also finite? Do we die again into yet another realm? And that's a good point, good question, because that's the way I always thought of it. You know, we think there are these negative implications about physical death because we think it's final. So it's a tragedy when somebody dies, but if you think in terms of a doorway, it's not death, it's rebirth. So we're reborn into the next realm. Now, if you also believe in a progression of different spheres of existence, it's the same thing. Being reborn means there's a death. So we're dying from one realm and advancing to the next.
Yeah.
Is that what you had in mind when you wrote the question?
I don't know what I ingested before I wrote that. But I do believe, as you say, I mean, the death that we experience from our physical world to the spiritual world is a major deal for the people left behind. But I do believe, yes, you get over there, and depending on your level of, you know, the Buddhists who are heading towards nirvana, there are different levels. So yes, you can get over there, and depending on the level you're at, you've got more work to do, more to learn. Let's put it that way. I hate to think about having to finally resting in peace and having to go to work. Come on. But yes, there's more to learn. And when you learn the next step, you do go to the next step. I don't think it's the people who are in your realm are not saying, oh, he died, as much as with what we should be doing is celebrating. Oh, they've made it to the next level. And maybe we should change the way we think about it, obviously, is that we are, rather than being sad for the person, be happy for the person that they've achieved this next level of their spiritual adventure. You know, we're sad for ourselves because we miss that physical person, and that'll never change.
We don't have a lot of time left, but these two questions are related. How is it possible for immaterial beings to interact with the physical world? Or is the afterlife part of the physical world, albeit a different realm? Interesting, and then the very next question was, always interested in the application of quantum physics to the afterlife, as I feel it holds many explanations. So, you know, the first, you know, question, you know, how is it possible for immaterial beings to interact with the physical world? Well, we're thinking it as separation, but if you think of it, it's all part of the same world. Yeah. You know, right. You know, we're it's not that we're this physical entity. We're a being of consciousness.
Right.
Nothing
Thoughts.
Physical about it, a being of yeah. So our consciousness extends over the physical world and continues way beyond that to all these other realms. So consciousness is consciousness. Your consciousness in the afterlife realm is not much different, or you know, than the consciousness in the physical realm. So of course you can telepathically communicate, you know, mm-hmm. with each other. And as far as quantum physics goes, I mean that certainly is interesting because it shows that we are all connected and remain connected. We had Khaled Swanson on the show last week, and he in his synchronized universe model, he talks about torsion energy. Each realm has their own frequency, so and their own phase. So we can't normally see the afterlife realm because they operate at a different phase than we do. But if somehow when we're able to, you know, get in the same phase, all of a sudden we can see them, and they, yeah. Like the woman who called earlier, they can appear to us. So that's about it. So I think we've just about run out of time. So Fran, okay. Want to take over?
Sure. We now ask our listeners to please join us in our global peace prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone. Mm-hmm.